Well, good afternoon, and thank you all for joining us for this special press conference. We call this press conference to give you a chance to hear why we want to reform our antiquated public employee collective bargaining law in the state of Iowa. We also wanted to be able to answer your questions on the changes that are being proposed. Many of these changes we've been trying to implement for a long time through the bargaining and arbitration process. And I want to tell you first what this bill does not do. It does not impact the private sector. This bill does not strip away health care coverage from public employees. And this bill does not impact pensions. They've never been subject to collective bargaining. For too long, union special interests have routinely won over the taxpayers, especially on the issue of health care. Our goals in this legislation are very simple: to put the taxpayers' interests in a position of being treated fairly, to reward good employees, and ensure that we can remove an occasional bad employee. We also want to bring fairness back into the employee benefit system that public employees receive at the taxpayers' expense. This bill does not end bargaining for wages. That will continue. In fact, it gives greater flexibility to reward the best employees and teachers and provide higher wages by controlling health care costs. This bill also provides much-needed transparency for taxpayers when a public employee is dismissed for cause. For too long, school districts and government have not been allowed to disclose the rationale for dismissing a public employee, even if that might include neglect, abuse, or even gross negligence. Those things are confidential personnel matters that can't be disclosed. The House did pass a bill in 2014 to address this issue, but Senator Gronstall did not let it be debated in the Senate. For health care alone, state employees in these union contracts typically only pay $20 a month, and up till a couple of years ago, they were paying zero. But taxpayers are on the hook for over $22,000 for those employees that have family coverage. This is wrong, and it's certainly out of whack what everybody else in the state has to pay. Every public employee needs to pay a fair share for their own health care costs and take ownership of their own health. Since 2012, non-contract employees have paid a percentage of their health care premiums and had an opportunity by doing health risk assessments and other things to take ownership of their own health to reduce those costs by participating in programs that help identify their risks and reduce those risks. And this is a way to improve health as well as control costs. Lastly, one of the most important parts of these changes involves the timeline for new collective bargaining agreement. And I am keenly aware of this because a lame duck governor signed a collective bargaining agreement demanded by the union without any negotiations after I had defeated him in the election. This is wrong, and we were stuck with that for 2 years. This legislation will make it so that a new collective bargaining agreement may not be signed after an election year until the new governor officially takes office. Our legislative leaders, and I want to commend Speaker Linda Upmeyer and Majority Leader Bill Dix and their Labor Committee leaders that have been working on this and working together with us, and they are introducing companion bills in both the House and the Senate. I think this shows the kind of cooperation between the governor's office and the House and Senate to address this critical issue. I'm very optimistic about the chances we have for finally making changes that are in the best interests of the taxpayers of Iowa, the schools, the counties, the cities, and state government. And we believe that this will be beneficial to our employees as well as to our taxpayers. I'm very pleased to turn this over now to Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you, Governor Branstad. And these changes are necessary, and I'm pleased that we finally are having a real conversation about an antiquated law that hasn't been looked at since 1974. As someone who has some local government experience, I served as the Clark County Treasurer for 13 years. I can see firsthand that these changes dramatically will increase local control by giving really local governments the flexibility that they need to not only manage their county or their school districts, but to make decisions that are in the best interest of their constituents, their communities, and their schools, and the students that are attending those schools, as well as the teachers. The changes will also provide, as I indicated, local school districts with the flexibility that they need in their annual budgets. It gives them the opportunity to reward good employees, good teachers, and most importantly, make employment decisions based on merit and not simply time served. I'm going to highlight some of the pieces of the legislation. First, as the governor indicated, we believe that all public employees should take ownership of their health and that they should contribute to their own health care plans. Accordingly, the Kaiser Family Foundation in 2015, according to them, the average employee pays $4,804 per year for a family health care plan in Iowa. And when you contrast that to what is currently taking place, they're paying $240 a year, state employees are, for their family health care plan. And so it's just simply not fair, and it really demonstrates, I think, how far out of whack and the disparity and the differences that are taking place with the current collective bargaining law and how it has become in favor of the unions and their special interest. As you know, Governor Branstad and I have always wanted to reward the best teachers in our state. They are the ones that are making a difference in classrooms all across the state and making a real difference in the lives of our students. And with the help of the legislature, we started the Teacher Leadership and Compensation System that provides over $150 million a year to help really give teachers the tools that they need to be successful, to keep the best educators and teachers in the classroom, and to really make sure that our students are equipped to compete in a global economy. But even with the new TLC that really rewards good teachers, school boards and districts are unable to let go or fire teachers who have done something improper. This legislation will allow school boards and districts to create merit pay systems based on their individual needs and make employment decisions based on merit, again, and not time served. These changes will ensure that we're putting the best teachers in the classroom and, again, giving them the tools to be successful. So we look forward to continuing the process. And at this point, I'd like to bring up to the podium Speaker Linda Upmeyer of the Iowa House, and she's going to talk about her view on the legislation that's been introduced in the legislative body today. So, Linda, Speaker.
Well, I think the governor and the lieutenant governor have done a wonderful job of outlining both the bill and the impetus for the bill over the last several years. It's no surprise to you that the House has worked on accomplishing some of these initiatives several times during the last 6 years, starting back in 2011, where we actually did a bill that includes much of what we are talking about today. But the goal is to take another look and make some changes to a process that hasn't been looked at very thoroughly for 40 years. And keeping the taxpayer in mind, making sure that over the years, as we've sort of had our thumb on the scale, as we reviewed each contract, made changes, and added to the imbalance, now we have an opportunity to rebalance and keep the taxpayer in mind. And so we're excited about looking forward. And I think it's a wonderful – the Lieutenant Governor's points about our teachers and our workforce were so correct. We have wonderful employees. We value our employees, and we want to make sure that the people that are best, the brightest, the motivated, really have an opportunity for success in our system. So I'm excited about our future. And I'm going to turn it over to the Senate Majority Leader, Bill Dix.
Good afternoon, everybody. And, you know, one thing is for sure. The proposal before us is about local control. It's how can we keep our best teachers in the classroom? How can we keep our best employees on the front lines? And creating an environment where new and innovative ideas, creative ideas, can take place to better serve Iowans. It removes the state mandate that and will empower the people. It gives school boards the opportunity to improve student achievement, again, by keeping the best teachers in the classroom and by able to remove the occasional bad apple that exists. Higher efficiency means better service and lower cost government. In short, it's a better deal for Iowa taxpayers.
Okay, we open it to your questions. Well, it depends upon, we're continuing to negotiate in good faith, and I guess we'll have to see what happens through the legislative process.
Well,
yes?
I think one of the points we went to, most of us went to a union news conference, they said, hey, this goes way beyond, you know, Speaker Upmeyer talked about not having balance. They said, this takes the scale and throws it up out the window and really is a union-busting bill. And they talked about the idea of required certification every year. You can't collect union dues from the contracts. I mean, aren't those classic union-busting types of things?
Well, is it really fair that the teachers of today are stuck with a bargaining unit that was agreed upon in the 70s, before they were even born? It seems to me this is an antiquated law that needs to be updated, and the people that are actually employed today ought to have some voice in it. So I don't see that there's anything unfair or wrong about that. What's unfair is to the employees of today that are being stuck with a system that was put together before they were even born.
The bill, as I understand it, would prohibit unions from negotiating on grievances. So if an employee has a grievance with their employer,
right,
would that resort to them potentially turning to legal action instead, a ripple effect that could lead to...
We already have a system in place for public employees that the merit system... so they would have the same rights and that other employees have under the system. So it would be under the present system, which protects employees and gives them all the fair due process but it would be under that system rather than under a union bargained agreement.
We've absolutely had these changes before the public. As I said, since 2011, we've been talking about these very things. So, it's what we've talked about all along.
And I would say also very true for the Senate. Iowans told us they want new direction in the state. They want new opportunities, new careers. They want to make sure that we have our best teachers in the classroom, and we want to have as much of that power brought back to the local level as we possibly can. That's what this bill does.
I think the question, though, is nobody's taught any campaign manager that says we want to bust the public employees.
That's not what this is about. That's not what this is about. I tell you, what we did hear from Senate Democrats is how much they wanted to attack us because we went to managed care for Medicaid. Well, they lost. The fact is, I think Iowans appreciate and want us to be fair, and they want a system that is not antiquated and isn't tilted in one favor, but one that's going to be fair to all Iowans. And I believe that these changes are designed to do that. Yes. Well, this is a long time ago, and I guess my feeling is that there weren't many people that I was one of the few that's still around that when this passed. But I guess my feeling is I've seen what's happened to health care costs since the 70s. And that's my real concern, Nobody could have possibly predicted the tremendous increase in health care costs that would occur, and that we would have arbitrators which would almost never, so employers were pretty generous back in the 70s, and they paid the entire cost of health care. That was true in the private sector, too. That's all changed. That's all changed over the last several decades. And I have tried diligently through the bargaining process to get that issue addressed, and we haven't been able to get it addressed. And it's just gotten more and more out of whack. So that's why this is so critically important. For the benefit of everybody, especially the taxpayers who are really stuck with virtually the whole bill, but also for the employees, we have an opportunity to put together a system that encourages and rewards people for doing the right things to take ownership of their own health and reduce their health care costs, and thereby free up more money for wages.
But Kay's question, though, was why did you vote against the original bill? Was it an anti-union vote?
No. I was representing my constituents, and I felt that local control was being jeopardized, and it's gotten worse, I think, over time, and consequently, that's a long time ago, but I represented my constituents, and I heard from a lot of my constituents in northern Iowa that felt that we're taking local control away from schools and that this was not in the public's interest. Well, the people that put on the uniform to go out there and protect the lives and safety of each of us every day, I think there's a reason to treat them different. I would also point out they're treated different in the pension system as well.
Governor, is this personal?
No.
Danny Coleman described this as your vendetta of many decades.
No. No, I just am proud to have the honor of serving the people of Iowa. I love this state. I want to make sure that people are treated fairly and that we have a system that treats everybody fairly. I am just very proud that we have a legislature that's willing to address an issue like this and that is not going to be intimidated by Danny Homan or anybody else, but is interested more in representing their constituents and making sure that we have a system that's fair to everyone.
They also quoted then Representative Jeff Cotton, who said that the best collective bargaining law is bipartisan. Why isn't this bipartisan in any stretch?
Well, our problem is we have tried, and the House passed several bills, and the Senate Democrats wouldn't even debate it. So I hope that they will take this seriously, and I would certainly hope that we get bipartisan support for this.
But that was then, this is now.
Well, that's the reason why this bill is now is because they wouldn't debate it when they had the majority. So this is our first chance to really get it debated. Well, okay. First of all, I am the chief executive, and you know from previous press conferences that I have never tried to say how the legislature should handle their business. So I'm going to let legislators answer that question.
Yeah, I want to assure everybody Senate rules are going to be followed. So anyone who has any questions about this bill, anyone who has thoughts that they want to express, they're all going to have that opportunity through the full process in the Iowa Senate.
But you know that you're choosing a path that makes this happen much quicker than if your side did it and you hand it off to your side. I mean, you're intentionally making this go faster, right?
We are going to follow the rules as well. And let me just remind you, this is in stark contrast to a few years ago when the House Democrats decided they wanted to expand collective bargaining, so took a technical bill and put a secret amendment onto it, and we debated it that night. So this is in stark contrast. This bill is out there. It will get full subcommittee and committee. People have an opportunity to look at this bill, and then likely we will debate it next week. But we'll have ample time to do that. It's really being handled the way almost every other bill in the chamber is being handled.
Do you have any concern that this approach, when you look out and you see the labor activists here today, the pro-sanctuary city folks who are here today, that you're sort of losing control of your newfound victory and majority?
Well, first of all, I just say I'm proud of the fact that we have people in the legislature that are willing to do the right thing and are not going to be threatened or intimidated by anybody. We have a responsibility to the people that elected us. And I am really proud of the fact that the legislature is using the appropriate procedures. They're not trying to use sneaky things that have been done in the past. They're not holding the voting machine open all weekend and threatening people and stuff like that that's gone on in the past. I've seen these things happen. I just think that my responsibility as chief executive is to represent all the people of Iowa, make sure that we have as fair a system as possible. And I believe that this changing this antiquated collective bargaining law to make it more fair and balanced makes a lot of sense. Well, I'm sorry. I'm a little anxious to be glad to let them respond.
I think the governor said it well. And we're going to move forward. The people of Iowa sent us a message in electing us. They don't want us to continue business as usual. They want new opportunities. And bringing, as this bill does, more of that decision-making to the local level, empowering our superintendents, our school boards, our county boards of supervisors, city councils, to make a lot of these decisions that meet the marketplace needs and to make sure that the best people are doing the best job for Iowans getting a better deal. That's what they sent us to do, and that's what we intend to follow through with.
One more here, and then we got to let everybody get back to work. So how is this going to be different than what Wisconsin was doing back in 2011? How is this going to work out better than what happened over there?
Well, this is a different state. And we have different laws, and things are done differently here. I'm real proud of the fact that we take our responsibility very seriously, and the collaboration between the House and the Senate and the governor's office in working on dealing with an issue of this importance to the people of Iowa, I think, is a classic example of how to do things the right way. And I'm proud of the fact that it's being done this way.
I would just like to add to that, you know, Wisconsin is a very different state on many levels in that they were not in our position when they began this process. At the same time that they were trying to create new opportunities, they were having to cut the budget. Last night, we added money to K-12 education. So we're funding our budgets, we're funding government as we move forward to create new opportunities. So I think that's a big difference. We have different opportunities here in Iowa.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Okay, thank you. Good job.
Thank you.